Hello, friends. No BS. Tonight is a special call. We are going to kind of hold some space and honor some of the feelings that we have during the season, during the holiday season. As you know, I do a lot of coaching on emotions and on feelings and on grief and other fear, anxiety, other things. Tonight's call is specially placed, around the time the Corinne does her focus on emotions for the holidays. So that's why we're here. We're here to coach a little bit of grief, to talk about it, to learn how to feel it, and to s basically survive grief. Now, I will say, your girl here is an emotional girl, and I can already feel the tears behind my eyes, so that if I cry along with you, it's okay. I'm okay with that. I hope you're okay with that. So if you want to talk about grief tonight, if you want to talk about how you're feeling and get a little love and support, just raise that hand and I got you. Okay. And I will say at the end of this call, I have a special surprise for you. I have been working this week on a meditation, a grief meditation. So if you're still here at the end of the call, probably take 4 or 5 minutes. We'll go through that too. Okay. All right. Kimberly's hand is raised, so I'm going to go ahead and call you up, Kimberly. If anybody else wants to talk tonight, you can go ahead and raise your hand too. So here she comes.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Okay. There we go.
There you are. Hello.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kimberly. I have seen your posts in the Facebook group.
Okay. For those who haven't, I doubt it because the Facebook group has been amazing. I lost my husband suddenly November 21st, and I posted I was feeling just very numb. Lizzie reached out, one of the No BS coaches, and has been providing me support throughout this time. I shared in the Facebook group about the flowers that was sent. So
Yeah, they were beautiful. Too
they
bad the note wasn't.
I know.
For those of you who don't know, the flower delivery people messed up and sent the wrong note to Kimberly.
Yes.
No.
And I experienced all the shitties, like,
Of course you
what
did.
if this, what is this, they think of me, because I thought it was a friend, because I didn't tell a lot of people that my husband has passed. It was a very, naturally, it was a very horrible experience. He passed away from cardiac arrest in the home. They did work on him, but the thing is that my children were home, my 13-year-old and my 14-year-old home were home. And he went in, it went into arrest. It was nothing like you see on TV or anything like that. My 14-year-old stepped up, pulled his dad down onto the floor from the bed, and administered CPR. He was the one, yes, he was the one who got him breathing and rolled him on his side. My 13-year-old ran downstairs and opened up the door, was smart enough to secure the pets, and things of that nature, and all while I'm trying to pull clothes on, and just I wasn't going crazy, but I was just like talking to him, trying to talk to my husband and everything like that. And there were so many people in the house, as you can imagine. And he didn't make it, and when he came home, they don't tell you about the things, like the 9 epi caps that's left on the floor, the white sheet that's left on the floor, the EKG reading where you can see where his heart was trying to beat, and then it just was like flatlined, things like that they don't tell you about. You don't see that on TV. And so to navigate through that, I was very numb naturally, and so it was around 6 a.m. No, after 6 o'clock, his foreman called. He was a track worker, and he worked for New York Transit. His foreman called and was looking for him, and so I told him what happened. He's like, "Oh my gosh!" And I said to the foreman, "I was like, listen, I need for you to keep this to yourself for now." And of course, men are the worst gossipers, you know. And before you knew it, in less than like 20 minutes, it was posted on Facebook, and I didn't even tell his family yet because what happened is that I'm trying to internalize it, and then the bear with me, but some donation center called because he was a donor. So you would it was like a 40-minute, almost a 50-minute phone call to get confirmation and verification that it's okay. And then they're telling me what they already decided what he's going to they need from him, if that, you know, they're doing tissue. They were doing tissue, and ironically, his arteries, you know, which I thought was, huh, okay. And I'm like texting the people. I'm like, take that off of Facebook, you know, take that off. And it's not even like a close family member, so I'm angry now. So it's like, okay, now I have to push aside whatever what was me grief or anything like that. But I have to get angry, and you know, I'm like, take it off, type of thing. So they took it down, and so then telling his sister, and then they wanted to come over. I didn't want him to come over, the whole thing. So my phone keeps interrupting me. So okay, my family didn't like the way I handled sharing the story, or not, as you know, because I from what I gather, they wanted me to he passed at 12:21 a.m. They wanted me to call them at 12:23, screaming and hollering at the hospital, you know, or something like that. And I wasn't going to do that, especially with the boys. And we had our private moment as a family for the last time together with the, you know, with his body, and talking to the boys, and you know, just trying to process all of that. And I think also I just wasn't ready to break up our small little bubble. You know, I was, I'm not a lot older than my husband. I was like 4 years older than my husband, and I didn't get married until I was like 36, you know. So, and by then, you know, in less than 2, 3 years, you know, I lost both my parents. He lost his dad. You know, he has a very small family, so it's just us. It was just us, and then for people to come in and invade the house and come over, and you know, and then, oh, also, Kathy, they don't tell you this. If it's a big person and they're upstairs, they're gonna tear up your house. So they removed the banister and removed the landing and scraped up my Ralph Lauren painting, you know, the paint, and all of the paint, you know, the pictures and stuff got knocked off the floor as they were trying to get him down off the gurney, fine. But it's like to have people come home over, you know, and that as well. I'm like, oh my God. So, okay. So I had to deal with that and some other. You know, unfortunately, funerals do bring out the worst. Weddings and funerals bring out the worst in people. So there was an aunt that was upset with the way I was handling things, and you know, she was very verbal about it, and she kind of made it about her, which is fine. That's your nephew and stuff. But she first said, because then money came into it, because first she said she was going to pay for the repast, but then when I changed the date, she was upset about me changing the date because it coincided with her mother that passed away 3 years ago on that same day. And I'm like, I understand that. And, you know, I didn't plan that. Like, I wouldn't plan something like that. But it's like, if I keep this, I know I'm going to sound mean, but if I keep this man on ice any longer, he is going to bury himself, you know? You know? And it's like everything just pauses, you know, when you're making these arrangements and everything like that. So I stuck with the date, and I know, God was on my side a lot. I mean, he's always on our side, but I was like, when she hung up the phone and she told me that she gaslit me about the repass money, and then she told me to take her off the program because she was supposed to read the obituary. And she's like, I'm not going to read the obituary because I'm going to get emotional. I'm like, okay. So then I was going to the church to do the program, and my children made a big sacrifice because my children decided to have the services at their church. I'm Catholic, but they go to a different a gospel church, and they ask their the preacher there to do the services, and I'm like, okay, fine. And the kids practically gave the donation, paid for their own father's funeral, the donation, they did $600. The kids did this, and they gave the date and everything. They were very brave and strong with this, and they got their little tax receipt thing, and I was like so proud of them. And I'm like, yes, we're going to have it on the 8th. We'll have it on the 8th, that type of thing. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm concerning this lady's feelings naturally. And as I turned, I put the address to the church in my GPS. And I did that only because I know I've been driving distracted. So at least the GPS will kind of snap me out of things. And even though I've been to this church a million one times, I kid you not, I was it told me to turn on Marion Street because the church is on that street. I never knew the name. It was Marion. Do you know what her mother's name was? Marion.
Wow.
So I just started cracking up. I'm just like, okay, fine. So we had the funeral Monday. And I broke down. I shared it with Lizzie because it was put on YouTube or Zoom, for people who couldn't attend. And I broke down, and I was so mad at myself. I did do the eulogy. I called it a note to my husband, and I did do the eulogy. And I broke down after I finished it, and I was like so mad at myself. But Lizzie assured me I did a wonderful job.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
I'm certain you did it. First of all, two hands up. I mean, for doing your own husband's eulogy. Wow. Okay. But why are you mad at yourself for breaking down?
I think it's me, you know what? It's like a, I guess it's a cultural thing. I don't know, because like my family, it's cultural, and also my upbringing. You're not supposed to cry. Like the things that you tell boys, that's what my father, my mother always told me.
Okay.
Sorry, are you
Okay.
there? Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay, great. It was much like, I don't know, I'm sure the ladies here will totally understand. It was much like the VC Andrews Flowers in the Attic, the grandmother, just very stern, and what do this is,
I read that
Bible
book.
thumping, and this is
Yes.
how God is, and that period pain is this because of Eve's sin. So no crying there. So what, you're in pain, no tears. It's Eve's sin that we're feeling, that type of thing.
Okay.
So
But
and
why
then
were you mad at yourself for
because
breaking down?
I cried. I mean, like, I broke. It was bad. Lizzie said it wasn't, but I was just like, I did it, Thumper. I did it. I hope you're happy. That's what I hope I made you proud.
Okay. Cultural or not, I don't think personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with emoting. And I think that's the whole point of this call. You
Right.
are allowed, you are encouraged and allowed to emote, whether it's cry, yell, scream, holler, withdraw, whatever it is you need to do to process your emotion is what you are 100% allowed to do. And the fact that you held it until the end of the eulogy, girl, I don't think I would have gotten the third word out. All right, somebody else was going to have to read my letter. All right.
Yeah.
So it's my feeling, my thought, no matter who you are, that you honor yourself and tell me your husband's name.
Benny.
and Benny by processing this emotion exactly as it feels authentic to you. Okay.
Okay.
I can tell you, I was told not to cry as a kid too. I bet everyone on this call was shamed for crying. My kids used to shame me for crying. They're, oh, here she goes again. She's crying again. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I'm just a crier. And the fact that you held it together, it probably felt really hard to hold it together through the eulogy. That once it was over, there was such relief that it was over that the tears came.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
I think that's what it was. I think that's what it was, you know. There was a relief, momentarily, you know. The planning and everything, and you know, because I did, I'm not gonna say I did everything, you know. I had help. Like my family had to really, my family stepped in, especially when his aunt had her moment, and you know, I wasn't going to entertain the BS and things of that nature. And I was so emotionally drained, and I really picked and choose who I spoke with. Like even there are times when Lizzie would send something to me, and I think I made the joke in Swiss last, like that short period of time, I think. At one point, I just sent emojis, but I didn't press send. I was just like, you know, like that type of thing. Because I was just so drained and focused at the same time, if that makes any sense, you know.
I think there's a part of us sometimes when we're in the midst of, new grief, because yours is still pretty new, right?
Yeah, it's
New
very,
grief
yeah.
is where we almost compartmentalize because we think that we should feel something or shouldn't feel something right now or should do something or shouldn't do something. So we kind of table what we're actually feeling so that we can go through the motions of planning and supporting and do all these things that we have to do. And now you're post-funeral,
Yeah,
right?
I am.
Are you still tabling emotions or are you feeling them now?
No, I'm still tabling them a little bit. I did eat today, and I was, because I thought I was going to eat yesterday. I've just been doing protein shakes, and Lizzie did encourage me. We're not here to talk about food, you know, like in her emails, you know, I don't have to talk about what I'm eating or eat, but I ironically, I had my husband and I had an appointment with a bariatric surgeon December 1st. So I still went, and he said, you know, talking to you, he said, with talking to you, because I was going to look into getting weight loss medication. And he said, you know what, talking to you, he said, I don't think you need that right now, you know. You need just therapy and a nutritionist, and he knows about Corinne and everything. And he said the same thing that you guys say. Well, are you reaching out to ask coaches? You know, because he confirmed something. This is what he said. I'm gonna paraphrase it, but he was just, he said, wait a second. He's like, yeah, she was like, this lady, she has a different programs and projects or whatever in her clubhouse. And I'm like, yes, she does. And he's like, and they have weekly meetings. And I'm like, yes, that's it. And he's like, well, you don't do it. I'm like, well, you know, I think a little bit of FOMO has me going while I'm still there. And he's like, yeah, but okay, great, I understand. He's like, but don't they have ask coaches? Like, isn't there other specialists out there that you could type? And I'm like, oh yeah, you know about this thing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
And yeah, so I spoke to a nutritionist, and she's just like, you know what, if just drink the protein shakes just to make you through, don't worry about eating. Because I was worried about, because I'm losing a lot of weight, and before my husband passed, I was doing the Corinne challenge and I lost 7 pounds. And then Like when I the next day I weighed myself. I mean, I this is me. The next day after I weighed myself and realized I lost the 7 pounds, and he died later on that day. And I went on the scale, and it's like I've lost like 15 pounds, you know. And I'm just like, okay.
How is your body feeling? You still feeling tired? Are you feeling normal? Are you just
Well, you know what? I'm
sleeping?
feeling a little tired, but I noticed that after the funeral, I did sleep like 6 hours, and then like I try to do a virtual Bible study, the Tuesday night, and I like conked out. My aura and said I fell asleep like at 10 o'clock, and I didn't wake up until like 6, you know. So I feel okay, you know. I'm a little drained, but I don't feel like I am malnutrition, what that big word or anything like that.
Your hunger may come back hard and fast. It may not. It may come back slowly. Just be conscious of it. Because
Yeah.
when we go through, I was reading about this just today, when we go through a shock like you've been through, the body goes into protection mode, and it can either get super hungry or it can get not hungry at all. It can go either direction.
Right.
So yours has gone not hungry at all, hard to eat.
Yeah.
So I love that the nutritionist said just, drink a protein shake periodically. That'll help at least from a nutrition standpoint.
Yeah.
And then I want you to honor hunger as it comes back. Okay.
Right.
Watch for a little hunger and honor it as you can with nutritious foods. I don't want you going after cookies and candy and
I
stuff,
know,
okay?
because last week sometime, the boys had like smash burgers, and I had like a couple of bites, and then I had like some pretzels afterwards. I mean, I stopped myself, but I felt that comfort food feeling, like, you know, you get. So I was like, no.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you.
You know, I was like, okay, no.
All right.
But
Let's think forward a little bit. What's the next couple of weeks going to look like at your house?
Oh, it's gonna be hell, girl. Kathy, it's Christmas. And that was my husband's jam. You
Yeah.
know, it was like the tree. Then we have to go pick out the tree. Then we have to go pick out the cheap train track that goes around the tree, you know, because $400. I'm not spending $400. Let's spend $39.99 every Christmas year. Yeah.
Yes.
We had so many tracks. It's from Home Depot. I'm not exaggerating. It is a little dinky. But the train tracks he used to love to buy was from Home Depot. And we had so many tracks left over from other train sets. It was like looping around the whole house. I have a very small house, but it's like you come in and it's like the hallway, then it leads into the kitchen, but there's a dining room and a living room, and like kind of loops around. The track looped around twice. It was hysterical. That's how much tracks. And
Are you
him
going
and
to
the
put it up
boys.
this year?
I don't want to. I
Why?
don't want.
Do your boys want to put it up?
You know what they I think they do. I think they would, you know. Because I was actually looking at some memory pictures that pop up on Facebook, and I forgot we got a tree that was a gangster lean tree, like it was just leaning to the side. And hubby called it the leaning tree of pizza, you know. And that's what he, you know, it was it, when I said it was like this, you
This
know.
is, and this is what this is what I'm hoping for. Okay. As you go through the next couple of weeks, deciding whether you're going to put up a tree or pull out the train tracks and wrap them around the house a couple of times, how much of Christmas are you going to be able to tolerate from an emotional standpoint? Whether it's, I want you to allow all of it to come in. Okay. I think that's my point. You're going to feel sad, no doubt. Okay. But I want you to laugh about those train tracks and the leaning tower of tree and what Benny would have said about he's going to come up. His funny, his he sounds like a funny man. Is he a funny man?
He was very, very funny, and that's the thing. Like, his mom wants us to come to her house,
Okay.
and she says, just come on the 20th, you know, because I have Christmas gifts for you guys and stuff like that. And they live in another borough, so it's going to be like an hour and a half drive. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't know, because I had to drive by myself Thanksgiving, and that was very jarring for me. Not because I'm a bad driver, it's because I'm like the princess passenger. I'm the passenger princess, and
Oh, me too, girl. Me
yeah. But he is hysterical. Like even last year, I made one of these a game, a family game where you wrap the treats up in Saran wrap and you make this huge ball, and then you have to put on oven mitts to peel the Saran wrap, and the treats will fall down, and it's like everyone is like, cheering everybody on, go Joni, go. Go, Shane, go. And then when my husband turned, he started with the mittens, and we were like, "Yay, Benny, yay!" And then he threw the mittens off, and we're yelling, "No, Benny, no, nope!" And he's like, he's very tall, so he had it up in the air trying to pull things apart. It was just so funny, But it's like, oh my gosh, I just want to lay in this bed. I want a bed rot, and drink protein shakes. I don't know.
And that's, I mean, but bed rot, that's an interesting way to put it. But there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with honoring what you need at any given time. If you need to call up your mother-in-law half an hour before you're supposed to leave and say, I just can't do it. You get to do and feel exactly what you need to do and feel. Okay.
Okay.
Especially over the next couple of weeks. As often as you want to cry, I want you to cry because that crying is a release. It's an acknowledgement and a release of emotion. Okay.
Okay.
It's actually very good for you to cry. Maybe, for me, if I really want to plan a cry, I'll do it in the shower. I'll cry hard in the shower and I picture all the tears washing away, like the in the shower water. If I don't want to upset anybody, that's where I'm going. I'm going to the shower to cry. But you cry wherever it is you think you need to, without shame, without judgment. Okay?
Okay.
And as you go through, here's the other thing about grief. It's a result, and I know you know this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. It's a result of a major change in your life. And
Yeah.
our brains don't like change. Our brains like things to stay the same, to keep things easy, avoid pain, seek pleasure. That's what the habit brain's job is. Now your brain has to totally reorganize the way it thinks and feels and lives life without Benny.
Yeah.
So you have to give yourself the space to do that. You can tell funny stories, you can cry, you can do all the things, but you have to allow yourself the space to reorganize life.
Yeah. You
Right.
know what? That's you hit it on the button. I have to reorganize life because I'm here struggling with, oh, living a new normal. But no, I have to reorganize it. Because I'm such of a type A, Kathy.
Kimberly. This reorganization, though, is an adaptation, right?
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
what it is. And, at some point, it's going to feel like a new normal. But I wouldn't push that thought on you too hard.
Yeah.
Because no, no, normal is Benny being there. New
Yeah.
normal is not cool.
Yeah.
So we don't want to shove that one too hard. We just want to acknowledge that things are different, and that we have to decide now what is this going to look like? Is it going to look like last year? Is it going to look like train tracks around the house, or is it going to look different? And if you have trouble making those choices, you've got two very brave, amazing boys that can help you make those choices too.
Yes, yeah.
I cannot get over the fact that your 14-year-old was given his dad CPR.
Yes, he was. He was. He was. He
What an
was
incredible kid.
that 365-pound man on its side and held him, Yeah.
What an incredible kid.
Yeah, thank you. Even though we just got an argument earlier, but it's okay.
That happens too. I mean, you've got teenagers, so it's going to happen. The arguments are going to happen. But the other thing to prepare for over the next couple of weeks is the volatility of emotion. because emotions are going to come out of you and come out of those boys without thought, right? It's going to be like a pressure valve. The more you shove down what you're thinking, because you're not supposed to cry, or you're going to be mad at yourself for crying, the more you shove it down and table it. Did you grow up? Did your mama have a pressure cooker? Like
Yes.
mine
Yeah.
did. You
Yeah.
canned all the green beans and the tomatoes and.
You know what? She used to make the best goat, curry goat and oxtails in the pressure cooker. It was so good. Meat
Okay.
was so
So
tender.
you remember how that thing worked. If
Yes.
you didn't let that pressure out, it was going to blow. It was going to blow up the kitchen, right? I
Yes.
want you to think of yourself as a pressure cooker. And every now and then, you got to hit that release valve. Okay. And
Okay.
that release valve is laying in bed or having a cry or getting a protein shake or taking a shower or having a moment to yourself where you can feel your emotions. Okay.
Okay.
You're going to have to work on, think of yourself as a pressure cooker and work on that release valve. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to blow the top off your head. You're going to yell at somebody. You're going to fall out on the floor and scream and holler and, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's really, really important to feel your emotions through this, to honor them. Because in honoring them, you're actually honoring your love for old Benny, right?
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't grieve that man if you didn't love him.
Yeah. That I did. And I,
And you still do, and you still will until your last day.
yeah.
That love will always be there.
Yes.
You've been talking to him yet? There it is.
Was by accident too, because I was planning the funeral and I got a card from his co-workers, and it's just it was so crazy. It was really sincerely by accident. I'm laying on the bed and my back is turned towards him. Like when we used to lay in the bed, my back would be turned towards him. He would lay on his back. I like to lay on my side, even though I had my hip replaced last year. And I'm looking at the list who might be coming to the repast. And I get a card, two of his co-workers I've never seen before. Someone here said something about the transit men. They have a brotherhood. They're very, very close. Two men came by. I thought they were just bringing his contents that was in the locker. And they came by with a card. And in the card was some money. Not some, it was a good amount of money. Made me look like a one of those rappers on TV that holds the big wads of money like this, you know? And I counted the signatures and it was 64 signatures instead of, so I looked at the list and I'm like, well, I'm only catering for 100. I'm like, should I add another pan of food? Like, you know, two pans more of protein and a pan of starch. And I said, Thumper, I used to call him Thumper. And I said, Thumper, what do you think? And literally I turned my body. It's not even to say I'm like, and you know how people talk to their loved ones in the air. And I turn my body and I'm like, oh my God, you know, he's not here and I'm talking to him, you know, and did it again with the boys. You know, it's, I don't, I mean, I do know. I do know. I just,
I think it would be interesting for you to talk to him on purpose. What would you tell him?
what would I tell him?
What would you tell him if you were to talk to him, if you were to talk to him on purpose?
On purpose, I would tell him we could have always ordered hired someone to put the vanity table together. He didn't have to do it like that, you know, to try to get out of it. I don't know.
Would you tell him how amazing his boys are?
Yes,
And how they took care of him?
I I would tell him, yes, his boys are amazing. They just need some guidance. I'm really mad at him right now. So it
Yeah,
would be
there we go.
out of anger. It
Yeah.
would be, it would be really out of anger. And I'm not trying to canonize him as a saint, or anything, because he's dead, like some people do, or they died, so they're gonna have. But we went through so much. We were married for 16 years, and at one point I wanted a divorce, a few years back, and he was the one who found a counselor, a marriage therapist, and he had to trick me into seeing the therapist because of COVID. He started showing up to the meetings. I wouldn't go. I was that chick. I found a full-time job. I put the kids in a good daycare, all day daycare. I was that mom. I was like, and he's started attending the therapist, and I'm hearing his side of the story, and I'm like, that's not how it goes, that type of thing. And eventually I wanted to say my side, and eventually we worked things out. And he was diagnosed with heart failure, I think, like 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And he started doing all the things right, medical, compliant with the medication. That was never been a problem, but it was just him losing weight and stuff like that. And he tried, and he found, I call him the black male version of Corinne, Only
Good.
he was very pricey, but it was an investment, and things. And he started doing well, and just fell back on old habits and things of that nature. And even last year, he had blood clots, and he was came out of it. He came out of it. So much so he could go back to work, and he did manual labor. He was a track worker, so he was barely out 4 weeks, barely, and he went back to work, and things. And I'm just like, but he just couldn't get a handle on the eating. And I shouldn't complain because I'm in the same boat, but I'm just like, we have the two kids. Like the therapist said that, what about your children? What about your wife? The lifestyle and stuff. So I'm just really angry at him right now, and I don't want to be like, see, I told you so, but look,
But see, that's part of it, Kimberly. Being angry is part of feeling grief. Sometimes it comes quick, sometimes it comes later. Everybody's grief journey is different, but it's part of it. It's normal to be angry at him, at the circumstances, at the doctors, at the whoever. You get to be angry too. Grief is like an umbrella. Okay? If you think of an umbrella, and underneath it are all these little emotions that we tend to feel when we're grieving. Sadness, loneliness, boredom, anger, disappointment. What you name it, it's going to be there. Okay? And well, on that side, happy's not going to be there, obviously. But you're allowed to be angry at him for a little while too. And as you process that anger, as you go, okay, I'm going to be mad and I'm going to tell him all the reasons why, and then I'm going to feel better. Because that's what happens when we're angry, right? We blow off that steam. And then we kind of come around the backside of it and go, I know you really didn't mean it. Just like having a fight with nobody. It's what you're doing. And that's okay too. That's the beautiful thing about feeling emotions is that there's no right or wrong emotion. They're all allowed. And the more you let them be there, the more you feel them, the more you acknowledge them, the more you feel them in your body. The easier they become, okay? The easier they become to tolerate. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So tell me what else I can do for you.
I think I need help n navigating my coworkers. They're very analytical. there. And it's going to be, and they mean well, but my manager did give me the, take as much time as you need, even though it's the end of closing for the year. Because I work at a research hospital and I assist in processing all the donations, and so people want their tax receipts and everything like that. And I'm going to go back next week. I only took like a week off, but they were, I know what to say in the thank you card, but but the VP came. Why am I whispering? The VP came. VP Kane of my department and the director of my department came. And I think I'm just stuck on the fact that they were there and they saw me break down. And I'm just wondering, like, do I do a pulse check to see how they're doing? Especially since they're Caucasian and it was like an all black church. Because I didn't see them until I was like kind of walking through, and I'm like, what are those? Don't are don't who?
Those people.
Whoa, white people. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm
So, why is it a problem that they saw you break down?
because we're just so mechanical at work. First of all, I work from home. So that was
Okay.
even make it even a more bigger deal because I work from home. And when I say work from home, no going to the office one day a week or once a
Yeah.
month. So
Me too.
everything is not even video. Sometimes we don't even have our video on. We'll email before we, that type of thing. So I do appreciate them coming. That means a lot because they came, one lady came from a different state, and stuff like that. And, even if she's under the guise of, oh, I was going to be in New York anyway, no, girl, you traveled to Brooklyn. It's like that type of thing. And girl, you went in the hood, so I'm just like, okay. So I feel as though I owe them a little bit more of my attention, and I don't have it with me right now. I don't have it in me because she actually sent me an email saying that she left a card at home and was asking for my address to send it to me. And she wrote me this very heartfelt email, and I just don't have it in me to respond. And you the same way I panicked about the flowers, even though I didn't know who it is. Now I'm panicking because, like, oh my gosh, I have to force my way to answer them, and I want them to leave me alone. Usually, I'm the one bothering them. Like, I'll send IM messages like, did you drink water? Did you moisturize? That type of thing. And now it's coming my way, and I just want to be left alone and process gifts. That's all I want to do,
So why not tell them? If they start, how are you? Can we do anything for you? I'm fine. I need some space right now. Thank you. Thank you for checking on me. I need some space right now. What's wrong with that?
Sounds so mean.
No, it y'all on this call, do you agree with me? Give us some thumbs up here. Yaha. Look at that. Would you look at that?
Okay.
Okay. None of this is scripted or right or wrong. What's right is what is best for you. If you're not ready to manage people in your house, people checking on you, any of that, if you're just doing all you can do to take care of you and your boys, asking for space is not a problem. You just make yourself a little note somewhere of who you want to get back with when you're ready. Okay,
Okay.
when you're ready. It could be months, and that's okay. All right. Your first priority is you, and your 1A priority is those boys. Not the VP of the company, not the director, not the people that, whatever.
Right.
It's just not. In fact, if you need to farm out thank yous, how many of you on this call have farmed out thank yous for funerals, for flowers and stuff? I know I have been like, oh, you want to help me? Good. Here's a list of people I need you to send a card to. That's okay too. Any of that is in the chat. I have. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I have. Okay.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
There's no right or wrong here. The right or wrong is what's happening in Kimberly's head. That would be mean. They shouldn't see me do this. No, girl. You have to walk your journey in order to heal this hole that you've got in your heart. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take patience, and it's going to take self-compassion. No right or wrong. You get to do it the way you think works best. And if you need space, if they care about you enough, they will give you space. And I guess they do because they came to Brooklyn, right? From wherever they were. See? And that applies to anybody. It applies to family, applies to friends, applies to work, applies to anybody. You get to set the rules here based on what you need. Okay. And, Rebecca in the chat says if they judge a woman for not being polite enough after her husband just died, you don't want them in your personal life anyway.
That's true.
That's
That's
true.
so
That's so
true. Yeah.
true. And what you, the path that you walk through this is going to be your own unique path. What you ask for, what you farm out, what you do is going to be unique to you. Nobody else is going to walk this path because none of us are the same person.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
You just have to figure out what's best for you as you go through this, as you feel your emotions, as you honor that husband of yours, that funny husband of yours and his train tracks. Oh my gosh. If you put up that train, please, please post in the Facebook group and tag me. I want to see it.
Okay, well.
And I don't know. It's a tough time of year for those of us who have lost people, but your grief is so new. I just want you to know that we are all loving on you right now
Oh, well, thank you.
with
Thank you so much.
whatever you need.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone else who's listening on this call or who might listen to the replay. I just really want to sincerely say thank you for posting, your thoughts and prayers. And some ladies actually sent me IM messages, and it was so caring, and I felt so loved and supported, and made me be like, okay, maybe I could go another half an hour. I'm not suicidal. It's just I didn't want to be here, if that makes any sense. And
Oh,
so,
absolutely. Absolutely.
and the tools that was given and the directions, and I just want to say thank you. And one or two girls actually offered to come out here and cut on for me, but I was like,
To cut what?
cut the aunt.
Oh, the oh. Okay. Look, she's grieving too.
Yes,
She's
she's
walking
grieving.
her own journey, as is your mother-in-law. Right. And any other person that knew Benny and loved him is grieving too.
And it is, and it is, and we're just all in shock and everything. So I'm very empathetic at that, with that.
Well, you keep corresponding with Lizzie. She's amazing. And if you need me, you can reach me the same way.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm
No
going to
problem.
go lay down in bed rot now with a protein shake.
Bed rot with a protein shake. You take good care, okay?
Right, bye, Kathleen.
Bye. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Okay. Wow, right? Grief is an interesting emotion. It's tough, and nobody wants to feel it. But it's part of our human existence. It's part of love, right? And as we go through life, there's going to be different ways we grieve, different people we grieve, different situations. We can grieve work. If we lose our job, we definitely grieve people. We can grieve lost traditions. Corinne mentioned that. Lots of reasons grief can come up, but I'm serious, y'all. If you suppress grief, and you don't honor it and you don't feel it and you don't acknowledge it, it's not going to go away. It just won't. It's going to fester under the surface until you pull it out and you name it and acknowledge it. You give yourself the gift of normalizing it. Of course, I'm grieving. Right? I loved him. Of course, I'm grieving. I miss whatever it is you're missing. And then you give yourself the gift of feeling. You can drop into your body. It's in my stomach. It's in my chest. It feels heavy across my back. Allow yourself to feel the feelings, to cry, to emote, to yell, to scream, because that's what lets the pressure off. Okay? That's what lets the pressure off. All right, I have a question here. Let's see what's in the Q&A. Grief before they're gone. Oh my goodness. iPhone, I don't know who you are. Yes, we can. I think it's called pre-grieving. I don't know if I agree with that term. I think grief is grief. But yeah. I think my husband is grieving right now. And I'm going to cry telling this story, but I think that's okay because I told y'all it's okay to cry, right? We have just found out that his sister has Alzheimer's. And I have suspected this for about 6 months. She started having hallucinations and all these things right before we went on her trip this summer. And I have described to others that I felt like she had a tiptoe in the dementia. Well, now we have a confirmed diagnosis. And he is stunned. He is stunned. He keeps saying, that means she's going to get worse. But yeah, that's what that means. But I think he is already grieving the sister that he grew up. Because she is beginning to change. She is beginning to change. So, yes, I do believe grief can come before death. Grief can come. We can have anticipatory grief. We can have, sometimes we do this to ourselves. Sometimes we worry ourselves into grief. I want to coach you if you're doing that. But when you start thinking about grief ahead of time, someone has a terminal illness, someone's personality is changing. Yeah, you can certainly begin grieving them before they're gone. Okay. My husband has cancer. It's been 4 years. I'm afraid it's drawing close. It's so hard watching this. Yes, same thing. Same thing. Same person, iPhone. I would expect that you're already grieving. You're grieving the man he was. You're grieving his health. That's what happens. Grief is thinking about today versus thinking about what we had and not wanting the change, right? Between the two, having to reorganize, as I said, the change between the two. And then very often, grief looks forward. How will things change? Am I ready for that? And it'll be unsettled about it. So, yes, I think you can certainly grieve ahead of time. Does that help, my friend? Does that help? Allow yourself to feel the feels. If you want to cry and you don't want him to see you or worry about you, do in the shower. Take a minute to yourself. All that's fine. If you want to write in to ask coaches and talk about it, we got you, right? You want to email us at support, we got you. Okay. Here's another question. Exactly. Hiding my grief. Please don't hide your grief. Not from yourself, anyway. You can hide it from whomever you want, but don't hide it from yourself. Feel your feelings. 3 steps to feeling the hardest feelings. The first one is to acknowledge it. Yes, I'm grieving. Yes, this is hard. Yes, I miss him. I miss the man he was. The second one is to normalize it. Of course, I'm grieving. This is hard. This is really hard. He's hurting. He's sick. I'm caring for him. He's not the same. Whatever it is, normalize it. And the third step is permission to feel. Make sure you are feeling all of your feelings. Everything that's under that grief umbrella, anger, sadness, disappointment, disbelief, confusion, whatever comes with it, feel it all, acknowledge it, let it be there. Okay? Don't be your own pressure cooker. Allow yourself to feel the feelings. And we, as no BS women, as a no BS compute co community, we support you. We love you. We're here for you. Okay? You can always, always, always lean on us. What about the anticipation that I won't be able to grieve when my dad passes because my mom and sister will be such disasters and I know I'll have to take care of everything? I don't know how to handle that. I want them to start counseling and so, or something now, but they won't even talk about it. Rebecca, if you end up being the person who takes care of things because your mom and your sister are a disaster, you can still grieve. You can still fall apart. You can still do whatever it is you need to do to honor your emotions so that you can be the stabilizer. Okay? I know this because as big a mess as I can be, when my father died, I had to be the stabilizer. My stepmother called me and she said, please come help me. And when I got to Maryland, I got off that plane and I drove to her house and she said, please plan the funeral. Help me clean out his clothes and donate them. Organize this for me, do that for me. She had delegated all of that to me, and I was grieving. So I would do all the things she needed me to do. I'd be the person that she needed me to be during the day, and I would go back to the hotel at night, and I would cry my eyes out, and I would feel my feelings. So if you need to step up and you have the capacity to do so, make sure you are giving yourself the time that you need to feel your feelings and normalize them and acknowledge them. Okay? Rebecca says, I have 10-year-old triplets. I never get any time, but I try. Do they sleep? They're 10, right? They sleep. I bet you can figure it out. In fact, I would challenge you to figure it out because you're going to need to. They sleep when I do. I challenge you to figure it out. Okay, maybe it's time in your journal. Maybe you put them in front of the television for a few minutes, whatever it is, in the shower. Christy says in the shower. I challenge you to find that time. Otherwise, you're going to blow. You're going to be that pressure cooker. I don't want you being that pressure cooker. Okay, accept the challenge. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come in to ask coaches and tell me how you can do it. Okay. I want to support you. I want to help you find the ways that you can do it. Okay. I have a door lock and a camera in the living room. See, you're already figuring it out, girl. You have already gotten this challenge. You've already accepted it. All right. Anything else before we get to the meditation? Stephanie says, I can't stress the importance of grief counseling. There are people who focus on grief counseling. It's not typical counseling. Yes, I actually have a client, a private client, who lost her father a year ago. And she was in coaching with me at the time, and she's still in coaching with me now. But she decided she wanted a specific grief counselor, and I fully, fully support that. If you need grief counseling, I would 100% go find someone and talk to them. Okay? Anything else? I don't see any hands raised. I don't see any more questions. Y'all ready for this meditation? Are you ready? Let's do it. Okay, everybody. Settle into a comfortable position. You can sit, you can lie down. Let your hands rest softly. Take a slow, deep breath in and a long, gentle breath out. Let your body know that for these minutes, it does not need to hold anything together. It can simply be. Close your eyes if that feels okay. Feel the weight of your body being supported. Feel the air on your skin. The quiet around you. Notice your breath. Don't have to change it, just notice it. You're here, and that's enough. Place a hand on your heart. Take a slow breath in for four. Hold for one. Exhale audibly for six. With each breath, imagine you're making a little more space inside your chest. Space for emotion, space for tenderness, space for yourself. Grief is not a problem to solve. It is a natural human response to love. Let yourself acknowledge whatever you're carrying today, the heaviness, the ache, the numbness, the fatigue, the confusion. You don't need to label it or judge it. Just simply tell yourself, this is here and I can be with it. Let your breath surround your grief like a soft blanket, not forcing it away, just supporting it. Imagine now a peaceful place. A place that feels gentle and safe. It could be real or imagined. A favorite chair, a quiet beach, a warm sunrise, a garden, a forest path, even just a memory of safety. See the details, the colors, the textures, the light. Feel how the air moves. Notice the peacefulness of this place. Not because it removes grief, but because it welcomes you exactly as you are. In this peaceful place, give yourself permission to rest. You don't need to be strong here. You don't need to hide anything here. You don't need to pretend. Let your grief sit beside you, not inside you, not overwhelming you. Just beside you, like a companion who exists but does not control the moment. If emotions rise, let them rise. If nothing rises, let the quiet simply be quiet. All of it belongs. Now imagine a gentle light, soft, warm, and steady. Growing in the space around your heart. This light is compassion, not forced positivity, not fixing, just compassion. With each inhale, the light grows a little brighter, and with each exhale, it softens through your body, your throat, your shoulders, your stomach. Your hands down to your feet. Let this compassion say quietly to your heart, I'm here with you. You're not alone. Imagine now that this light extends outward toward the memory of the person or situation you're grieving, not as a goodbye. Not as holding on, but as a thread of love that continues gently. Say quietly, thank you for what was. I carry your love with me. I release the rest. Begin to notice your breath again. Notice your hands. Notice the support beneath you. Feel your body as it is, a body that has survived hard days, a body that continues to show up for you. Take one last deep breath in and a long, soft breath out. And when you're ready, open your eyes. I hope this call is helpful to any of you that are having a tough time through the holidays this year. Or even if you're listening on replay sometime through the course of the next year, I hope you find some peace and some solace in what you know to feel and how you know to take care of yourself. Okay? And remember, we are all here. We are all right here to love and support you. Y'all have a good night. Take care.